Welcome everyone to the Correct Opinion podcast on themovieblog.com. I am your host and writer for the movie blog, Jim. Joining me today are Ryan.
How's it going?
Good, Ryan. And Anthony, the amazing Anthony's here also.
I'm amazing.
Well, that's why we have you here, Anthony. So, guys, glad you guys are joining me today for this episode. Ryan and I started off last week with our first podcast, and now glad to have you, Anthony. This week's episode, we're going to start off with the news about Spider-Man potentially becoming a Marvel entity in the film industry. So, apparently there's talk by HitFlix has reported that there's rumors that Marvel and Sony are discussing behind the scenes where they would be able to use the Spider-Man character in the Marvel films.
Correct.
Now, that's a rumor right now as of this moment, but where there's smoke, there's usually fire. So what do you guys think about that?
I think that this is probably going to be laid to rest pretty soon. If you look at some of the other comments on HitFlix as well from Sony, they already mentioned that they want a Spider-Man-centered film, which means that they're not going to settle for anything less. And with Marvel booming right now and Spider-Man not, I feel like this is just more studio rumblings more than anything else.
It's clear that Sony needs this more than Marvel. Two amazing Spider-Man films have decreased in box office earnings successively. The first one earned so much amount, the second one earned less. Marvel, on the other hand, has been on a steady increase. I can definitely see why Marvel is interested in getting their Spider-Man in the Avengers.
Well, now with the news also that Avengers are probably going to be splitting, also that's been reported this week, that they might want to like split the group into two different entities, that could be a way why they heated up the Spider-Man talks potentially. What do you guys think about that?
I honestly don't see it happening.
Yeah, neither do I. We've heard studio talk many times before. In fact, this even happened I think a few years back when they said they wanted the Oscorp building in one of the Avengers films, and they couldn't get that going. So
they gave an excuse like they couldn't do the CGI in time. And as someone who has worked in animation, not true.
And really, they actually had some rumors that saying they just couldn't get through the legal, and I think they just didn't want that made public.
Right.
Do you guys think this is maybe just a way of Marvel kind of trying to stick it to Fox? Because we know Fox and Marvel do not have a good relationship, and the X-Men franchise not moving anywhere. Sony's kind of been struggling with the Spider-Man films and whatnot, so they're kind of on the fringe right there. But do you think this is just Marvel trying to get one up on Fox in some way, just with these news? And maybe there's no intention, like you guys said, but just to kind of stick it to Fox, like, hey, we have the bargaining power if we really want it.
Marvel doesn't need to. They've already proven themselves time and time again. They're the head honcho. They're the ones that are leading right now. They don't need to prove anything to Fox. If anything, I think they're just trying to reacquire all their characters that they once had. That's what happened with Blade, Ghost Rider, even the Punisher now, who they've recently acquired. So, yeah, I don't think they need to prove anything to Fox.
I'm along the same lines as that. I don't think Marvel has to prove anything to Fox. However, I do think Marvel is trying to raise the bar, and they do acknowledge that Sony has been dropping the ball with Spider-Man. Mm-hmm. Hands down, Spider-Man is their biggest franchise. And for them to take their B characters, and I'm not trying to knock Captain America and Thor, but their B characters. Spider-Man is something that they know that they could have handled better. So it's more like a flaunt.
Yeah, I think you guys are right. I think there's some smoke to it. I think it's more just news and more fans trying to stir up. I agree. I doubt anything comes through. These are such you know, these negotiations would have to be like crazy particular with things. I just don't see these studios coming together at the end of the day. I think they will hold on to Spider-Man. It's such a big entity, and they just need to find a way to make a better Spider-Man for Sony. That's what they need to worry about.
I don't think it won't happen. Let me not say that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying that I don't think it won't happen. I'm saying that Sony needs Marvel more than Marvel needs Sony. That's I'm saying.
No question. All right, well, you guys know last week was a pretty good week at the movies. You had Annabelle, you had Gone Girl was the big movie. This week, the biggest movies at the box office, we have Dracula Untold and The Judge. What do you guys think of Dracula Untold? Start off with that one. It's directed by Gary Shore, starring Luke Evans, who was the rumored Batman for a while before Ben Affleck got that role. It's the history of Dracula, and they're going to go way back to the 15th century and his story, basically, and how it stood and tested time. So what do you guys think?
You know, I feel like I keep thinking I, Frankenstein.
And, so do I.
And I feel like they're trying to capitalize on some movie monsters and giving them more of a heroic story, trying to form more of an anti-hero. And I feel like it's just going to be one of those films that's put together capitalizing on a monster base that people love.
I somewhat agree. But let me just preface by saying I'm more of a stat guy. You know, I'm like one of those guys who are in football who will tell you how many yards a quarterback has thrown this season. Luke Evans is on the rise. He's one of those guys that has recently been doing a lot of high profile films. I honestly categorize him as in the same place as Chris Pratt. He's one of those people that are on the rise. You know, he was in The Hobbit. He was in Fast and Furious. He's got now his leading role. I'm not saying that it's going to perform as well as Guardians of the Galaxy because it doesn't have Marvel backing it. But he is definitely somebody who's making moves in the same vein. And I think that he might be able to do something comparable.
Well, I mean, I kind of tend to agree with Ryan here. I do have a sense. The movie just looks like I, Frankenstein. It just has that same look and vibe to it. And that wasn't a greatest movie, you know, out there. We know that. I'm just not sure. I don't have that Dracula feel to it. It just seems like they're trying to do sort of an origin story, obviously. But you wouldn't know from looking at it that it's like a Dracula film. You think it's some kind of medieval sci-fi film. I wouldn't know unless I saw the title that it's anything to do with Dracula.
I get that.
Yes, I mean, box office wise, I don't. What do you guys think? It's going to be a hit at the box office, or it's going to make some money? No, I don't see it either. I think if it makes about 10, 12 million, you know,
if it had Tom Cruise, maybe, but right. You know, it's got Luke Evans, it's got Dominic Cooper, you know,
they're good actors. I mean, no question.
And they're good actors, but they don't draw people to the theater. So, for a film that had a budget of like $100 million, I don't see them making their return. However, I do see it as something that will progress their career of Luke Evans.
It definitely could. Well, moving on from that. The next big film of the weekend, I think the biggest film of the weekend, is The Judge, starring Robert Downey Jr., Robert Duvall, Vera Farmiga. These are like some major A-lister names, and it's directed by David Dobkin. It's obviously about an attorney from Chicago, from my hometown right here, but obviously his father is played by Robert Duvall, so it's a good piece right away off the bat with Robert Downey and Duvall. They're going to be in many scenes together, and that's, I just think it's such a strong cast. This movie cannot fail.
Can I just also mention that Vincent D'Onofrio is also in this film? I'm a huge fan of his.
And Billy Bob Thornton too. I mean, the list is pretty spectacular.
It's one of those films that has a stellar cast. It doesn't have a huge budget, so it's really going to rely on its story.
And I think I don't see any reason why it wouldn't be a good story. I think it's kind of a different type of film we haven't had in a few years at least, you know, and I just think that the quality of actors are going to put this movie through. I don't think they'd sign up. You know, we're talking about some not only A-list names, but some A-list quality actors. You know, like Vera Farmiga is probably one of the best actresses in Hollywood.
Right.
And she does just good films usually. So I really have high hopes for this. I'm not sure if it's going to be a big box office film, but I think quality-wise, I think it could be up there. What do you think, Ryan?
I think quality-wise, I 100% agree. I think the cast alone proves that it's going to probably be a quality film. I think it's going to attract some fan favorites of those actors. But as far as the box office goes, I think we're just winding down off of a big blockbuster summer, and we're approaching horror season. So I feel like it really doesn't fit in well for being a big box office hit.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to make that much money or anything. I think $20 million would be solid. But I'm thinking just critics. I think critics are going to like this film, and maybe it's going to get some award consideration. I'm not sure about that. I haven't heard the lead in talk to this film, whoever screened it or seen it. But I think it might be one of those sleepers that might actually pop up in award season, possibly.
Yeah, we haven't seen many films that are Oscar worthy right now. I mean, it's a late season for Oscars.
It really is. I mean,
are there any movies you think are Oscar worthy out right now?
We were debating last week, Gone Girl potentially.
Gone Girl, yes. Especially just since it has David Fincher attached. I'd say Foxcatcher with Steve Carell and Channing Tatum. That's definitely going to be on the radar
for sure.
Wild with Reese Witherspoon. That'll probably be on the radar as well.
Mm-hmm.
About Nightcrawler? How about that one? That could be a major sleeper with Jake Gyllenhaal.
I've been waiting for something with Jake Gyllenhaal to emerge once again, but I don't know about this one. This one's just, it looks really intriguing, but it could also be a massive failure.
It could.
Yeah, I think it might be one of those movies that does well. I'm always a little apprehensive with Jake Gyllenhaal. He did that movie recently that I saw with Anthony Pena. What was the name of that film?
Are you talking about Chris Pena?
Yeah, sorry.
I love Chris Pena.
He played a police officer in that film.
The Watch.
The Watch.
Oh, wait, no, it wasn't The Watch.
It was The Watch.
Was it?
It was like Always on Watch or something to that.
Right.
And he does films that are definitely Oscar worthy, so I'm always optimistic toward him. I'm always keeping an eye on him. I'm not always confident that he'll always win the award, because you know, you guys and I know that the last 3 months of the year are slammed with Oscars and contenders.
Right. Yeah, and
so
I think,
go ahead.
I'm also thinking possibly Interstellar, maybe, if it's that End of Watch, that was it. Interstellar, yeah. Depends how that movie turns out. I mean, obviously, there's so much hype for it.
I've got hype for it. I love Christopher Nolan.
Nolan we trust.
That's right. But
and I don't see anything else. I really don't see anything else, really, till the end of the year that really stands out. Potentially, maybe Fury could be a good one, or even the Exodus, Gods and Kings with Christian Bale.
Stand out, what are you referring to?
As in top-notch movies that might garner,
Oscar buzz.
Oscar buzz and consideration.
Okay. I'd say that a lot of those are a possibility, especially with this season. I think Exodus, Gods and Kings is a possibility, but it's also Oliver Stone, which they have not really taken too kindly to his stuff over the past decade. So
I'm going to bring up a film that is easy to forget because it opened up earlier this year, but I don't know if you guys remember Lone Survivor with Mark Wahlberg and company. That was one of those films that I felt immediately might be considered for Oscar nomination, not necessarily in Best Picture, but in some capacity.
I would think it would be, but usually when the Oscar formula, they favor the
latter releases.
Yeah.
But, you know, this was a huge turnaround for me for Peter Berg. You know, he did Battleship.
Right. Yeah. That was a train wreck.
And, you know, it had Taylor Kitsch, it had Emile Hirsch, it had Eric Bana, it had everything that talent-wise said success that maybe they might be able to push over the finish line.
I just think it's more, I think people would confuse it. Like, just off the top of my head, I thought, wait, wasn't this in last year's Oscar? You know, it's like,
right,
it's
right,
too close
but
to
it
last
wasn't.
Year's
it was
season.
This year.
Right. And that's, I think, the confusion that many could get with that movie. Like, wait, wasn't this nominated? Maybe overlook it just over that fact that, like, you thought it was running last year.
Well, we all saw how Avatar got a lot of awards in 2009, despite its release date. So I'm hoping that this is one of those films that is also in consideration.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, that remains to be seen. We're still a little bit off from that. But what we could end off on and talk about before we leave for today is your thoughts on Gotham, guys. So far, what do
Love
you think?
It.
We're four episodes in. Okay, Anthony, you go. Go ahead. Tell me what you love about
Please
it.
Please go, Anthony.
Before I say too much, Jada is sexy.
Oh, well, we know that.
That's all I have to say. She's obscenely sexy. I almost wish, like, I was, Detective Bullock, just so I could have that kiss. She was hot.
But that can't make the show that good, right? I mean, we're not
No, well, you know, it's not the typical cop show. You can't compare it to, like, a Law & Order television show. You can't compare it to a CSI. It's going to carve its own lane. And in that same vein, it's sort of along the lines of, like, a WB show, but it's on Fox competing with the other cop shows that are on that station and the ones that are on NBC and CBS at the comparable times. We're definitely going outside of our realm of film with this topic, but it's Batman, so let's do it.
Yeah, I mean, do you like how the show's progressing so far? I mean, do you like how they're incorporating the villains and how the origin story?
Much.
Too much so far?
I think it's too much. I think they're trying to satisfy a lot of comic book fans by introducing a lot of the comic book characters immediately, and the goal of that is to make sure that we're locked in to continue watching. But if you're going to introduce a cop show, be a cop show.
I don't think it is a cop show. I think it has to have that. For me, the only thing that's keeping me so far is the intrigue with the villains. I mean, you don't want it to be a Chicago PD or one of those shows. I mean, it's clearly based on Batman, you know, in Gotham, the city of Gotham. You need fans to stick around by having these characters. And, you know, everyone's already waiting for the Joker.
Am I wrong for warning Law and Order?
Slightly, yeah. because it's not competing versus Law and Order. It's competing more with Agents of the Shield and Flash instead of those other shows that
Don't
we mentioned.
Arrow.
Is it?
And Arrow. I think so. I think that's what you look at different sites and different things. I think these shows are mentioned in different publications next to each other.
I think you both have a point. It's just, first off, Anthony, I'm a little bit upset that you said you loved it and then you actually critiqued it because I wanted to argue with you. We usually get our moment of arguings in, and now you took that away from me.
Let's do it.
Go.
But no, I feel like it is a cop show, but they're capitalizing on the name of Gotham. There's no Batman.
No.
And Anthony's exactly right. They're introducing every villain they can to try to capture the essence of Batman. Mm-hmm. But the one thing that's missing is Batman. And to me, I don't feel like you have Gotham without Batman.
What if they had Joker? Would that change? Because Joker's obviously the most notorious villain.
Because he is there's a yin and yang. It's Batman and Joker. You can't have one without the other. They need to balance each other.
I disagree. I think Gotham is its own character. I think Gotham was something that existed prior to Batman, and the fact that we were introduced to Batman helped us get introduced to Gotham.
But I think it's like a chicken versus egg scenario. If you look at the original comics issue, I mean, it's...
I'll agree with that.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be hard to argue that, because they introduced Batman, but then they introduced Gotham, the city, so...
Let's start talking comics then. You know, as for someone who, like yourself, you know, we've read comics. As a fan of somebody of Batman Year One, you know, a story about Jim Gordon.
Right.
This is a story about Jim Gordon being a police officer in Gotham that's corrupt. I do appreciate that a lot. You know, it goes a long way because there are a lot of stories that they can capitalize and explore with that. Gotham is a character in and of itself. I love that they're melding a lot of the different film aspects into this one television series. They obviously borrowed inspiration from the old Adam West show. They obviously borrowed inspiration from what Christopher Nolan did. They obviously borrowed inspiration from what Tim Burton did in the aesthetics. But they're definitely forging their own territory as well. But
right, Jada Pinkett's character is their own creation too. You know,
no, Jada Pinkett is Eartha Kitt. Let's not sugarcoat that. She's Eartha Kitt's Catwoman before Eartha Kitt.
Actually, I think she's the only outlier that doesn't really belong in the show.
I hear her accent, and I hear Eartha Kitt. That's just me personally.
I really like I like Jada Pinkett as a whole, but to me, she just seems insignificant.
I think she's hot.
I
think she's hot. She's definitely not as significant. She steals the screen for me.
I think Jessica Alba is hot, but I'm not gonna push for her to get an Oscar anytime soon.
No.
I'm not gonna say that about Megan Fox because she's hot, but you know.
You know. You guys remember the old Adam West Batman and Eartha Kitt's interpretation of Catwoman? When I hear her speak, I think she's channeling Eartha Kitt.
Yeah.
I think she is. I think she's doing that intentionally. When she's pushing on the character of the show, I think she is forging new ground and that she's drawing inspiration from that, but trying to make something that's her own. I definitely think the show is on the right track. Mm-hmm. I want to see it explore more than the origin of Batman.
And I think that's the key to it. I think we're only like 4 episodes in. I think we need to give it a chance at least through towards the end of the season, how things evolve, you know, and then we'll see how fast they're going to move things along or keep it at the same pace. I think it's too early to knock it yet because we just haven't seen enough.
Yeah, I mean, even Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., they were a late bloomer. I mean, I think I watched it for 5 episodes in, and I was just like bored out of my mind.
I can't watch that show. I need to be like in.
Do you guys watch comic book shows?
I can't watch that show.
You do? Which shows do you watch?
Arrow, Flash, Gotham, anything that's really comic book. I'm really excited for Constantine more than any of them, to be honest.
What about you, Jim?
I can't watch. I watched Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. like 5 episodes, and it just got so techie for me and so scientific. I'm like, where's my science book? You know, I need to get this crap out because I don't know what they're talking about. It's too like smart, you know, almost too smart for itself. You know, like it's very niche when it comes to viewers. I know they're expecting the really, really geeky, like mathematical people, but I just can't deal with that anymore. It just got too much. I mean, obviously Chloe Bennett is smoking hot. That was keeping me around, but I just can't get into it anymore.
I understand. Personally, I know this might sound awful to anyone who is a comic book fan. I don't watch any shows that are based on comic books. I can't watch. I've never seen a single episode of Smallville because I couldn't stand it. I've never finished Arrow's first season. I maybe saw a few episodes. I'm considering watching The Flash, but I'm not committed to it. But Gotham is up there better for me because it doesn't have somebody in a costume. I'm not into shows that are, I guess, geared toward me. I've never watched The Big Bang Theory either.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I guess to each of its own. You know, I mean, it appeals to certain people and certain people it might not. But before we wrap it up, there's news today coming out that they are rebooting the Ghostbusters. And obviously, Paul Feig's brought on aboard. He's got the writer of Heat, Katie Dippold, and it's going to be an all-female cast. So what do you guys quickly think about that?
I think that this was a rumor that was started a while ago that they were looking at Paul Feig, director of Bridesmaids, The Heat, and now it's just kind of come into fruition. So it makes sense. Like Hollywood's been going on the reboot train. Now they're going to introduce females to try to capture a different demographic. So I think it'll be funny. I'll watch it. I don't know if I'll like it though, just based on Ghostbusters nostalgia.
I'm kind of in the same boat. I'm let me say this, and I apologize if I'm saying too much, but let me say this. Ghostbusters was my favorite movie. You know, as a child, it was the only movie I owned on VHS, and I watched it obscenely. When I broke my VCR, I went to my neighbor's house, and I used theirs, and I watched it again.
Hardcore.
I loved Ghostbusters. I understand that Bill Murray recently worked with Melissa McCarthy in St. Vincent. He has a stronger affinity to female comedians at this time. And with all the things that have been going on with those surrounded around the production of Ghostbusters, he is maybe considered more with his suggestions. And he's saying, you know, let's do all female. I'm not with it. Honestly, you know,
neither am I.
The film for me made an impression. The film, the television series, the cartoon, all of that made an impression with me with the characters that they had and what their legacy was as, and I don't want to sound sexist, but as men.
Right. No. And yeah. You had such iconic names, Bill Murray, Dan Aykroyd. You cannot replicate that with Melissa McCarthy and Kristen Wiig. They should probably rename it, maybe kind of hint it as it is, kind of Ghostbusters.
I think they can recreate it. I don't think it'll be satisfying to me.
I don't think so either.
It's a different audience.
Yeah, it's a different audience, and I think it should maybe market itself a bit differently, because if they try to compete or recreate it as the original, it's just going to fail flat on its face. So I don't see that happening. But I guess that remains to be seen. We don't know who's going to get cast yet, but that's just news arising tonight. We'll be talking about it more as the news develops.
I was more interested in the idea of Jonah Hill, Channing Tatum, James Franco, and those guys becoming Ghostbusters.
That might have been a better option.
Hell, throw Leonardo DiCaprio in it if he'll do it. But, you know, I was definitely interested in that idea more than I was in the female-centric cast.
Yeah, well, I guess we'll remains to be seen how that develops. On that note, that will conclude our show for today.
Yay.
Thanks, guys, for coming on and talking about all the other movie news and movies that are coming out. Next week, we will be previewing Fury, and I'm going to be screening that tomorrow, so I will have a review of Fury, and we'll be talking about Nightcrawler, potentially.
Will you guys mind if I talk about New York Comic Con next week? Because I'm super excited.
We will definitely be able to talk about it. I'm excited to hear what you have planned there and who you're going to see.
I've got some Dragon Ball Z posters, inserts, DVDs, Blu-rays, etc. Ready for giveaways to any of our fans.
Awesome.
Not only do I have the posters, they're autographed by the entire producers and cast and crew. So Whoever comments, first come, first serve. I'm just going to give them away. I'm not even going to do draw a name out of a hat. I'm just going to give them away.
Which is a really good gift pack for all of you fans out there. I mean, that's pretty solid. Where can you get autographs like that? You know, it's not something you can just get anywhere. So that's
I'm a huge Dragon Ball Z fan. I've been a Dragon Ball Z fan before it was licensed in America. I had a website. I had, related to that. It's going to pain me to give these away. So I'm definitely looking forward to see who's interested.
Well, we'll find out soon. Anyways, thanks, guys, for joining me. Like I said, we'll be back for our third installment next week, so make sure you check out our site constantly, themovieblog.com. Read our articles. Thanks, Anthony. Thanks, Ryan. We'll be back next week. See ya, everyone. Yeah.